Today's daf is Shabbos daf pei, and we are at the last line of daf ayin tes amid beis, the two dots, diyoy kidei lichtoiv. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Liza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Elio ben Chaya Sarah, Avram Kadish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekusil ben Gittel, Rafal Chaim Shayosha ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Baruch Tzvi ben Shloimez Feiga, Chaim ben Yom Mordechai ben Ida, Yael Bas Bela, Chizkiyo Shloimez Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, and El Yakim Getzel ben Brana Esther. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilu Nishmas Yichil Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalo, Shloimez Zeb ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir El Chanan. So we're continuing in the same theme, and that is the melacha of Haitzah, specifically the second klal that the Mishnah mentioned in the end of Perek Klal Gadol, which states that one is not always chayev for the melacha of Haitzah if he carries something mirshos lirshos. Rather, only if he carries something that is a dover chashuv, what the Mishnah refers to as kosher lahatznia, people would typically store away. It was something that people valued. Not just that, you would have to carry a sheer chashuv of that item. So if you could check off both of those two boxes, and then you carry the item, rishus l'shus, that's when one would be over the melacha of haitzah. And as we saw, the mishnayis and the gemaras and brises went into very great technical detail describing different items, whether they're considered chashuv or not, and more specifically, what the sheer of chashivas would be, thus to determine how much of it one would have to carry in order for him to violate the melacha of Eitzah. So the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Ches said that if somebody carries ink, how much of it would he need to carry in order to be over the melacha of Eitzah midei Raisa? So said the Mishnah, enough ink kidei lichtoiv beis oisya, so that you'd be able to write two letters with it. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a braisa that elaborated a little bit on the Mishnah, shtei oisiyos bidyot. This that we said, that if somebody carries ink, he'd be chayiv if it's enough to write these two oisiyos. It doesn't matter if the ink was in its natural diyoy state, or it was shtei oisiyos bekolmas, or if the ink was already in the kulmus, that's the quill, the proverbial pen, or if it was shtei oisiyos bikalmarim, or if it was in the inkwell. The point is, if somebody carries enough ink to write two oisiyos, it doesn't really matter the exact context and the form in which the ink is, talach as he would be chay. That's a brisa. Boy, Rava, but Rava had a shayla on the brisa. What would be if somebody carried enough ink to write two oisiyos, however, ois achas bidyoy, one of the oisiyos was in dioy, meaning there was enough ink in the state of dioy to write one ois, and ois achas bekomas, and there was enough ink in the komas to write another ois, or ois achas bekamarim, there was enough ink in the kamarim to write an ois. Mao, would it be mitzar if it would not be mitzar? So if you carry ink bedioy enough to write two oises, yichai. If you carry ink the kulmus enough to write two oisiyos, yichayev. If you carry ink, the kalmarim, in the ink well, enough to write two oisiyos, you're going to be chayev. The question is, what if it was oisachas like this and oisachas with that? Would it be mitzarev? Would it not be mitzarev? And the Gemara says, teiku, omar Rava. So from there, the Gemara is now going to bring a bunch of halachos that Rava said as it relates to the sugi that we're learning. What would be if somebody carried ink enough to write two oisiyos, and he actually used the ink to write while he was carrying it in a Rishus HaRabim? Would he be chayiv or would he not be chayiv? Said Rava, chayiv. Why? Ksivason zuhi hanachasam. Because when the person writes, that's what constitutes the hanacha. So two things. Number one, if somebody carries ink in a Rishus HaRabim and he writes two oisiyos, he's certainly going to be chayiv. He's chayiv for the malach of kosev. Rav is discussing whether, in addition to the malach of kosev, he's also going to be chayiv for the malach of haitzah. Okay, what's the question? The question is, because haitzah, you're only chayiv for if you do an akira in one rishos and you do a hanacha in another rishos. Meaning, you would have to lift up the item that you're carrying in a rishos hayachid, put it down in a rishos harabim, pick it up in a rishos harabim, put it down in a rishos hayachid. If somebody carries something from a rishos hayachid to a rishos harabim, but he never stops moving, he doesn't violate the Malacha Vaitza Midairaisa. Because to the extent that he is moving, he was never over the Malacha Vaitza. If you remember the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Hey, we had a Shitas Ben Azai. Ben Azai holds Mahalech is Ka'imadami. That every time a person takes a step and then he picks himself up and he takes another step, he's always doing an Akira and Anacha. But this statement that Rava said wasn't going according to Ben Azai. We don't paskin like Ben Azai. Rather, it was going according to the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that merely walking doesn't constitute Akira and Hanacha. So you can carry ink all day long. If you don't stop for a minute, you're not going to violate the Malacha Veitzah. So this was Rava's Chab. What would be if the person who was carrying the ink actually used the ink to write two Oysiyos? Maybe the writing itself would constitute the Hanacha, and as a result, in addition for being Chayev for the Malach of Kosev, this person would also be Chayev for the Malach of Aitzah, and that's what Rava said. Rava said, I believe, in addition to being Chayev for Kosev, you'd also be Chayev for Aitzah, because Ksivason, Zui Anachason, the Ksiva itself constitutes Hanach. Rava said another Allah, Achas Vikosva, whoa, if somebody carries ink enough to write one ois. And then he did the same thing again. So he carried two ois, quote-unquote, but he did it in two phases. First he carried an ois achas, and then he carried another ois achas. So Rava said over here, the halach is going to be potter. My time, what's the reason? Rava said it's because of the metzias. When somebody writes with ink, so the ink is in a liquid form. That's why you're able to write with it. Very soon after you write, the ink is going to dry up. When the ink dries, it loses a little bit of its kamos. It loses a little bit of its quantity. The point is that if somebody would carry exactly enough to write two oisiyos, by the time the ink dries, it's going to be less than two oisiyos. Now, the truth is, as it relates to the Malach of Eitzah, you carried it in a liquid form, and then it dried up, and as a result, it lost a little bit. We don't care. At the end of the day, when you carried, you would be chayev. The reason it's unique over here is because this person didn't carry the two oisiyos with as achas. He did it in two steps. First he carried an ois achas, then he carried another ois achas. The point is that by the time he carried the second ois, the first ois had dried a little bit, which means it was missing a little of the shear. So if you would add the two oisiyos together, you really don't have two oisiyos. You have a little bit less. So that's why Rava said the halach is, in this case, you're going to be potter. Now the truth is, implied in Rava's kula is a chumrah. An important chumrah. And that is, you see from Rava that even though the shear for the Malacha Vaitza of Diyai is enough ink to write two oisiyos, you wouldn't have to carry the two oisiyos bevas achas. If you would carry an oisachas and then carry another oisachas, the two acts of Vaitza would complement each other, they would be mitzarif, and as a result, you would be chayiv. The reason Rava felt that this was an issue is because he said that at the very least, what you need is that at the same time you have the two oisiyos that you carried outside in the Rishos HaRabim. But over here, by the time you carry the second ois, the first one dried a little bit, it's pachas mikashir. As a result, you don't have ksivas beis oisiyos outside bevas achas. But if you would have ksivas beis oisiyos outside bevas achas, even though you carried them independently, you didn't carry them at the same time, the halacha is that you would be chayiv. And the truth is, the whole discussion that we had last week about chatzi shir as it relates to the Malacha Vaitzah would seem to presuppose this hanacha that Rava made. Because we know the only time chatzi shir is asav in HaTorah is if the chatzi shir that you did would be able to be mitzarif with another chatzi shir to create a complete shir. It's based on what the Gemara says in Yuma Ayin Dalet Amud Alef, Chazi Letzarufe. So if we had a sugya about carrying a chatzi shir on Shabbos, whether or not you would at the very least violate the Isser of chatzi shir asam in HaTorah, it would seem to suggest that for sure it's Chazi Letzarufe. The makar to that is what Rava just said. Rava clearly held that you can carry two things, pachas mikashir, and they'd be mitzarif together. They would combine for the shir, as long as the two things are going to be outside at the same time. But if you're not going to have the whole shir in the Rishus HaRabim at the same time, then you're not going to be chayv. On a similar note, Vamar Rava, hoitzi chatzi groigris achas. Well, if somebody carries a half a groigris of food, so we know that the shir, hoitza, as it relates to oichlen, that was the Mishnah I involved in the base. We spoke at the Pnei Yeshua last week. This is based on the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai of Te'ena state. That how much food would you have to carry? It doesn't matter what the food is. The shear is always going to be a groigris. So what would be if somebody carries a half a groigris and he put it down in Rosh Hashanah? Then he did the same thing. So the halach is rishoyin and nasak mishakolta kelavish and nisrafo pater. The halach is the two half a groigrises don't combine. They're not mitzarif. You're going to be pater. In fact, we look at it. If the first half a groigris was taken away by a dog or it burnt, it's not there anymore, and it
But it says the Gemara of Amai. It doesn't stem with what we just said. Hamancha. Didn't we just say that the two hoitzas would be mitzdarif as long as they're outside at the same time? Now you're telling me that if I carry a half a groigers and then I carry another half a groigers, they're not going to be mitzdarif. So the Gemara says, Hachikamer, you're right. You have to add important language into what Rava said. What Rava meant to say was, if somebody would carry a half a groigers from Rishus HaYachat to Rishus HaRabim, and then, v'imkotam v'higbi orishoino, somebody would lift up the first half, before the second one was put down, then Nasus Rishon the commission Nikla Toish and Nisra for Potter. In that case, you're going to be Potter. Again, two Hoitzas, each one being less than a shear, would certainly be Mitzaref. The issue over here is that each, by the time you put down the second half, the first one had been lifted, which means it's no longer in a state of anacha. If it's no longer in a state of anacha, then in that case, you don't have the physical anacha of both halves at the same time. That's why you're going to be potter. Amar Rava, Rava said, "Hotzi chatzi groigris v'inicha." If somebody took a chatzi groigris and he put it outside in a shos harabim, okay, so he carried a chatzi shear so far. V'chazav hotzi chatzi groigris, and then he carried another half of groigris. But v'vira derech alel, he never put it down on the ground. What he did was, he walked it, he was holding it, on top of the chatzi groigers that he had taken out. So he took out a chatzi groigers of bread from Rishus HaYachat to Rishus HaRabim. So far, not good, but he didn't violate yet the Malach of Eitzah. Now he takes out another half a groigers of bread, he's holding it in the Rishus HaRabim, and he's maver. He never put it down, but he was holding it. It was hovering on top of the other half of bread. So the halach is chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. Fake to Gemara. Well, what kind of halach is that? Vamai, haloi noch. He never did a hanacha with the second half. If he never did a hanacha on the second half, what would be the problem? So the Gemara says you have to make an akimta. Talking about that the person didn't just walk this other half of groigris outside in a Rishus HaRabim, but rather what he did was he actually put it within three tvachim of the piece of bread that was on the ground. Why does that help? Love it. There's a concept that if something's within three tfachim of something else, we look at it as if it's physically on the ground. So being that the other half of groigus was in three tfachim of this piece of bread, so the two halves are now mitzdarif, but not just mitzdarif. We look at the half that the person's holding as if it's on the ground, even though it's in his hand. But that's the chiddush of lavud. We allow it to appear as if it's on the ground, and therefore there was a hanacha. So you have two hoitzas, each one of a half a groigers. We know the two hoitzas give you mitzdarif. You have two hanachas. The first one's physically on the ground. The second one is more magically on the ground via the idea of lavud. But at the end of the day, you can check off all the boxes, and that's where you'd violate the malacha of hoitzah. But the Gemara says, is this true? V'amar Rava. Rava said, Toi shloish l'rabbonin, tzorech ha'nochal gabi mashu. The context of this statement that Rava said is a sugya later in the Masechta that discusses a well-known machloikis between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Whether you say kluta kemisho hunchadamyo or you don't say kluta kemisho hunchadamyo. Rabbi Akiva's shita is that if somebody would throw something from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaYachid and it would go derech a Rishus HaRabim, the person would be chayev. Even though it started off in a Rishus HaYachid, it ended up in a Rishus HaYachid, meaning that Kira and the Hanacha were both in a Rishus HaYachid, but if it goes derech Rishus HaRabim, you'll be chayev, because we look at it as if when it traveled through the Rishus HaRabim, it actually was kehun chadami, it was in the Rishus HaRabim. So in Lamdis, it went from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, back to Rishus HaYachid, and it's for that reason that Allah is that you're going to be chayev. Chachamim argued, Chachamim don't hold of kutu kemisho hun chadamyo. And Rava said that this, that the Chachamim don't hold of kutu kemisho, it's even if it was Toy Shloisha. What's even? Even though it's going below the radar, it's within three tvachim. It's technically on the ground ordinarily. There's a concept of love, but love doesn't help me for this halacha. So the Gemara says you have a steer in Rava. Here Rava said that if I'm carrying something, it's within three tvachim, it's kemunach dami, it's on the ground, it constitutes halacha. Rava was the one that said that according to the Chachamim that argue with Rabbi Akiva, who don't hold of kutu kemisho unchadamyo, what's the halacha? You need hanocha gabi mashu. There's no halacha of klute even within three tefachim. So the Gemara says, like kasha kam bezori kam b'mavi. You have to say that there's a difference between throwing something and merely carrying something. When you throw something, it's not in your hand anymore. So via the chachamim don't hold of klute mishu kun chadamyo, and they say love, it's not going to work either. But if the person is physically holding it, he's walking it in a rishus harabim, being that it was in his hand, then you could say the halacha of love. One more halacha as it relates to this. No, tanu rabbanu hoytzi chatzi groigus. Somebody would carry half a groigus because of hoytzi chatzi groigus. Then he would carry another half a groigers. He did a b'shoigig. So the question is, in terms of chatas, what's the halacha? So the halacha is behelam echad. If he did it behelam echad chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. What does helam mean? Of the beginning of Perek Klal Gadol fame, he wasn't made aware in between these two acts of Aitzah, of Chatzi Groigris, that what he was doing was Asar on Shabbos. So he carried a Chatzi Groigris, oops, and in the same oops, he carried another half. So the halach is, the two Haitzahs are mitzarif, like we just saw, and they're mitzarif with regards to Chatas as well, as long as it's behel mechot. There was no yediya in between the two Haitzahs of Pachas Mikazayas. What would be if it was b'shtei halamos? Let's say he was made aware after he carried the half a groigris that he made a mistake, and then he forgot again, and again he carried a half a groigris. So then the halach is his pater, because the yediya is mechalik. It divides up these two acts. Now they can't combine. They can't be mitzvah. Rabbi Yosi says, it's possible even behelam echad for a person to be potter. Meaning the only time Rabbi Yosi says that I agree, if somebody carries two half a groigruses, they will be mitzvah to be chayev a chatos, even behelam echad, that's only if it was taken into the same rishos. But let's say it was two rishuyos, then you're going to be potter. Meaning a person's in a rishos hayachid. He's home, and he carries a half a gregus to rishos harabim, and then he carries another half a gregus to rishos harabim. Behelam echad, says Rabbi Yossi, it depends. Did you carry it into the same rishos harabim, or did you carry it into a different rishos harabim? If it was the same rishos harabim, yeah, chay. If it was a different rishos harabim, you're going to be potter. Amar Rabbo, so we have a machloikis amayram, the head on the sand, sheet is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Zafushi, Yechchiv, Chadis Benim. The only time Rabbi Yossi said as halacha that you'd be potter if you carried into two different rishos harabims is if the two rishos harabims were divided by a chi of chatas, a real rishos. What's a real rishos? A rishos that would obligate you to bring a chatas if you carried from it to a rishos harabim, such as a rishos hayochid. Avo karmelis, if the two rishos harabims were divided by a karmelis, being that the Torah doesn't recognize a karmelis as a real rishos, so it's for that reason it's not considered a real division, and therefore the two rishos harabims are not significant in as being two rishos harabims, so therefore the two aitzahs would be mitzarf. Abayam, Abayam said, fill a karmelis. No, even if it was divided by a karmelis, that loch is going to be the same. Avo pisloloi, if they were divided, the two rishos harabims, not by a karmelis, but rather by a makam ptur, that's where it's going to be different. Rabam, Rabba says, I feel a pislo, even if it was divided by a makam ptur, as the Rabba, the Tamei, Rabba's lashitasa, Dama Rabba, Rabba said, rishos Shabbos, ki rishos gittin damya, that we look at rishuyas with regards to Shabbos the same way we look at them with regards to gittin. The context over here, not for this morning, is Perek HaZoyrek. The halacha is that if a man would give his wife a get, not physically in her hand, but rather put it inside her rishos, so the halacha is she would be megureshes. And the discussion over there is, what would be if someone has a pisla? Someone has an area that in Hilchos Shabbos is deemed a mocking pitor within a rishos hayachid. Do you view it as a separate rishos, or do you not view it as a separate rishos? Rava said you look at it as a separate rishos linyan gittin. Rava also said rishos Shabbos is ki rishos gittin. So if a makam tur has a chashivos le'inyan gittin, then by definition it means it has a chashivos of rishos le'inyan Shabbos as well. And if that's the case, the halacha is, according to Rava, that Rabbi Yossi, who said that shtei rishuyos are machalik as it relates to the halach of carrying a half a groigris and another half a groigris, even the halam echad, it's true if the two rishuyos were divided by rishos hayochid, that's for sure. It's true even if it was divided by our karmelis, and even if it was divided by a makam tur, that halacha would be true. Much better. Zok the Gemara Viper. Kechoil, kidei likhal ayanacha. So the Mishnah said that if somebody would carry kechoil, so what's kechoil? Loosely translated, eye makeup. So enough to paint one eye, he would violate Shabbos. Says the Ayanachas, Halei Kachli, who paints one eye? Why is that a shir? You would think that if a woman's going to put on eye makeup, she's going to paint both of her eyes. The Gemara says, Amar Afuna, shekein tznuois, koichalois ayanachas. The tznuois, the very, very modest women, they used to paint only one eye. Why? So Rashi says, Dibra maskul tznuois, shaholchois mi'utafois, because they used to walk with their face completely covered, so covered that ve'im megalis el ayin echad. They would only expose one eye literally, so they should see. Meaning they have to see. So you need to have a little hole for your eyes. But you would think for both eyes. No. One eye was enough. So there were women that would snooze. They used to conduct themselves that way. Therefore, it's chashav. And if somebody carries it on Shabbos, he's going to be chay. As it relates to this eye makeup, if it's the kechoil that's used lerefuah, if it's the one that was used just to make the woman look nice, then it has to be for two eyes. It seems clearly that the kechoil that's used lekashet would have to be the kechoil that was used for both eyes. Enough that you can use both, that you can paint both eyes, not only one. So the Gemara says, "Tivim Hilah Bereder of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Kitan Yahu Bironius." That was discussing
someone who carried it in a village. In the village, Rashi says the women didn't conduct themselves on the same level of tznius, because it wasn't so necessary. In the cities, in the bigger places, there was chayik and there was kalas roish, and therefore the women took it upon themselves to be extra modest. But in the small villages, in the shteytlach, it wasn't something that was so important. So in the shteytlach, if somebody carries kechayil, the one that's used to make a woman look nice, it would have to be enough for two eyes. If, however, it's in the larger cities, so there one eye would be enough. Shaiva, the Mishnah said. What about wax? How much wax would a person have to carry in order for him to violate the malach of Shabbos? What's the minimum sheer chashivos of wax? It's today Litan al pi neck of cotton, enough shiva that you could put to plug a small hole. Tana, what tie, a hole of what? Can they litan al pi neck of cotton shall yayin, a neck of cotton of yayin. Rashi says, as opposed to oil or as opposed to honey, which are thicker, and as a result, their respective holes of their barrels will probably be a little bit larger. The chiddush is that wine, whose consistency is so thin, still, if you have enough shiva to plug that hole, that would be enough. Charoses, zef, devek, kedelitim beroish ha-shafshaf. Somebody carries glue. How much glue would he have to carry? Enough to put on top of a shafshaf. What is this? Tana, kedelitim beroish shafshaf, sheberoish kana shal tzayodim. So the people that used to catch birds, so sometimes what they would do is they would have a kana, that's like a pole, made of reeds. On top of it, they would have a board, and they would put glue on the board. Oldest trick in the books. Like this, you get the birds or whatever it is, your prey that you're trying to catch, it lands there, and it's not going anywhere. So that's the enough dedek that you can put on top of one of these shafshafs. If somebody carries that on Shabbos, he's going to be chayev. Zephes, vigofris, kedelasos v'chulu. Tana, kedelasos, neck of cotton. How much zephes, sulfur, a pitch, enough to make a small hole. Charoses, kedelasos pikor. If somebody carries crushed bricks, it would be enough to make an opening for a court, for a crucible. Says the Gemara, maybe the shear Rabbi Yehuda enough. Oh, then Rabbi Yehuda argued. What was Rabbi Yehuda's shear? Rabbi Yehuda's shear was, no, it's enough. It has to be enough to be able to make a tripod. That was Rabbi Yehuda's shear. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, they lastly is pitbot. So the Gemara says it sounds a little bit like, from the way the Mishnah reads, that the shear Rabbi Yehuda nafesh, Rabbi Yehuda's shear is a larger shear. If he's saying a larger shear, that means Rabbi Yehuda's being mekel. But the Gemara says it can't be because it's called kaimel. We have a mesayro. This shear, the rabbanon nafesh, that whenever there's machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim as it relates to the shiurim, Rabbi Yehuda's shear is always the smaller shear. The rabbanon shear is always the larger shear. And from this Mishnah, we have a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim. Sounds a little bit like Rabbi Yehuda's shear is the larger shear. In fact, the Tanan, the Gemara says this precedence for Rabbi Yehuda's shear being the smaller shear. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kedei litel heimena midas min alakatan." This was going back on somebody that carried gemi. He carried reeds. So the question is, what was the shear? So the Chachamim said, "Kedei lasis tloil enough alakivra, enough to make a hook, something to hang the sieve on." Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kedei litel heimena midas min alakatan." It's like to use as a measuring stick to measure the shoes of a child. But the point is that you see over there, Rabbi Yehuda's shear was the smaller shear. Here it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda's shear is the biggest shear. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ema, you have to say, when Rabbi Yehuda said that you would have to carry enough crushed bricks to make a tripod, he didn't mean to make a tripod, but rather, they lost a pit but kira ktana. He meant to repair it. Sometimes you just need a little bit to repair it. That's what the shear is going to be. Tanu Rabbanu, and Amitzi Seyer, if somebody carries here, enough here to mix together with clay. So apparently people used to add here to clay. Enough that you can add to the clay. That's the tit. How much tit do you have to carry? So we've seen this already a few times. Kedei lasis pikur shel tzarfes of sid. How much lime would a person have to carry? Kedei lasis. As we'll see in the Gemara, people used to use lime. I believe it comes from limestone. But people used to use lime as some form of making women's skin look nice and removing here, as we'll see in the Gemara. So how much of this sid that was popularly used would one have to carry in order to be chayiv? So over here already in the Mishnah, we had a machloikis. The Tanakhama said, how much sid? It would have to be enough kidei losud kitana shebebonis to smear on a small aver of the girls. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda said, kidei losud kilko. Rab Nechemya said, "Kedei losod undapi." So we have three shiur. Tana, the first shiur, the Tana Kama shiur was kedei losod ketana shebebonos. What does that mean? Tana, kedei losod etzpe ketana shebebonos. It means the pinky, the small finger. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rab Benoisi Sroshe Gil Lepirkon. Young girls that started developing hairs that they would usually develop once they reached reach an age of maturity. But they didn't reach the age of maturity yet. So a woman, a girl that has Shtei Sairis before she turns 12 years old, for example. So B'nais Anim, the poor girls, Tavis Anais B'Sid, they would remove the hairs using Sid. B'nais Hashim, the wealthier girls, Tavis Anais B'Silas, they would use flour. B'nais Melachin, the very wealthy girls, Tavis Anais B'Shemen Amor, they would use a certain type of oil, Shemen Amor, Shenemar. We have a pasuk for that. Shisha Chadosh and B'Shemen Amor, that's the way the B'Sulais prepared themselves before they Menach HaShverish. My Shemen Amor, what exactly is the Shemen Amor? Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar, stakas. A certain type of oil. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Shemen Zayis Shelo Yivish Lashi. He says, you want to know what it is, Shemen Amar? It's Shemen Zayis. It's good old fashioned olive oil, but it didn't develop a shlish yet, and at that point it has certain functions, and this is one of the things that could be used for. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Anpiknun, which was sometimes a term that Chazal sometimes used. Rashi quotes a Mishnah, Menachis, Daf Behe Amid Beis. What is Anpiknun, Shemen Zayis, Shaloi Heviya Shlish? Why do people use it? Shemesha Saseir, because it removes here, Umahadin Esabasar, and it causes the skin to glow. Rabibi, how do they barta fela? Rabibi had a daughter, and what he used to do to his daughter was tafla ever. He used to give her lime, and she used to smear this lime on her body. And the Gemara says it made her look very beautiful, so much so that shakal ba dalid meyazuzi. Then when it came time for her to get married, so she got a very big nadun. So the Gemara says hava hu nachri b'shavavuse. There was a shegitz that lived in his neighborhood. Hava la barta. He also had a daughter. So he said, wow, look how much money Rabibi got because his daughter looked so nice. I'm going to do the same thing. So what did he do? Tafla b'chad zimno. So he took lime and he put it all over her body. Now Ravibi did it ever. But he went ahead and he did it all in one shot. Umesa, and he died. Amar, and he used to walk around saying, Kata Rabibi lebarte. Rabibi killed my daughter. Amar Rav Nachman said, Rabibi de shasi shichra. Rabibi, who used to drink a lot of beer, bayim bansei tifla. As a result, his daughters developed here prematurely and they needed this sid. But ananda lo shasin and shichra, we don't drink so much beer. Like bayim bansei tifla, this is not something that's necessary for us. He said that even though Rabibi did it, but it's not something that we necessarily have to get involved in. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda had a different sheet. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kadei lasud kilkul." So again, three sheetahs, how much lime, how much of sid a person would have to carry in order for him to be chayiv on Shabbos. The Tanna Kama said, "Kadei lasud kitana shebebanos," which we define as the etzpektana of the banos. We also know why the girls used to do it. Rabbi Yehuda said, "It's kadei lasud kilkul." Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Kidei lasud undapi. Says the Gemara, my kilkul man andipi. Different spelling. Amar Rav said, Siddha, kilkul are the temples. Ubasid is the area underneath. Says the Gemara, Lemeri der shir Rabbi Yehuda nafish. If that's the case, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda's shir is a larger shir than the Tanakama shir. Tanakama shir was enough to put on an etzpe kitana. Rabbi Yehuda said the shir is kilkul, which we just defined as the temples of the girl. That's a larger shir. Faith the Gemara, how could that be your kamel and shir Rabbanu nafish? We just saw on Amin Aleph, the Gemara said Rabbi Yehuda's shir, we had this Messiah, it was always the smaller shir. So the Gemara says, no, Zuta mid Rabbanu. The nafish midrab Nechemya. It's true that the Chachamim's shear is, Rabbi Yehuda's shear is really a smaller shear than the Rabbanan shear. It's just larger than Rab Nechemya's shear, and that's okay. This that we have a Messiah, that shear the Rabbanan is nafish, that's as it relates to Rabbi Yehuda klape the Chachamim in general, but doesn't mean Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is always the smaller sheet. It could be he argued with a Yachid, as long as it's not the Rabbin, it's not all the Chachamim. As long as it's a Yachid, it could be his shear would actually end up being a bigger shear, and in fact, in this case, it was a bigger shear. Not a bigger shear than the Chachamim shear, but a bigger shear than Rav Nechemya's shear. So again, Rav Yehuda's shear was the temples. Rav Nechemya's shear was the area beneath the temples. Rav Yehuda's shear is smaller than the Rabbanan shear, which is the Etzpektana, but it's larger than Rav Nechemya's shear. Faith the Gemara, Meisir, last year, Kasha, Amar Rebbe said that I want to be Machriya this halacha. How much lime would a person have to carry on Shabbos in order for him to be chayiv? So he said, "Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda bechavud, v'divrei Rabbi Nechemya bebeitzas hasid." It depends on the consistency of this lime. If it's beaten down, so then I hold like Rabbi Yehuda. If it's in a solid form, then I hold like Rabbi Nechemya. What's the svara behind what Rebbe's saying? So what he seemed to be saying was that the beaten down lime was used for kilkul, whatever that means. And the one that was in the solid form was used for andipi, whatever that means. But the Gemara's kash is, if you're going to tell me that the difference between kilkul and andipi is very subtle. It's just what part of the girl's head did she put this on? So Luchura, both of them used the chavut. So why would Rebbe have felt near in divrei Rabbi Yehuda bechavut v'divrei Rabbi Nechemya bebeitzas hasid? It makes no sense. At the end of the day, either you hold like Rebbe or like Rabbi Yehuda, or you hold like Rabbi Nechemya. Why would it make a difference which sid it is. It's the same sid that was used for the siddha is used for the bas siddha. The one that was used for the temples is used for the area underneath it. So what would be the svar in that? Elam Rab Yitzchak, Ami Devei Rab Ami, Andipa. You have to say that when the Mishnah says Andipi, it means something else. What it means is Andipa. So Rashi describes a kli cheres. This is some earthenware keli that has two openings. So if they sometimes this opening had to be closed. It was closed sometimes with lime, enough lime to close both of these openings. That's what the Mishnah means. He says, I don't believe Rav Kahana said anybody would ever use lime to plug a spigot, to plug a kli cheres, because whatever's inside the kli cheres is going to get ruined. Nobody's going to do it. Elam Rav Kahana said it means something else. Shnosos. What it means is, Rashi says, simonim of Meseches Menachos fame. Okay, tonight we're to the Mishnah. Shnosos hayu behin. There was a hin that was used in the Beis HaMikdash to determine how much of the Menachos was needed to be brought with different animals. And it would say like this, Ad kan lepar, Ad kan leayil, Ad kan lekeves, because different animals required a different amount of Menachos and Nesachim. The point is that these Shnosos were little markers. How did they make the markers on these Kalim? They used to use Sid, and that's what Andipi means. Viva Yisayim, Amai Andipa, Apusa. Apusa meaning the forehead. Chiyodahu bar Galil, the Ikla leBavel. There was a person from Galil who came to Bavel. They told him, Kum derei shlanu b'mayis merkava. Can you get up and give a drasha? He said, sure. What would you like me to talk about? He said, how about the Maisa Merkava? Amalahu, so he told him, Edrich Lachuki the Darish of Nechemi Lachavre. No worries, I'll tell you, I'll give Shira Maisa Merkava. Not just that, I'm going to say the same shit that Rav Nechemi said to his Chaver. The Gemara says, as he said this, Nafak ar Isa min Koisel, some creature popped out of the Koisel, Rashi says a tzira, a hornet, came out of the wall, Umachse Bandipi, it hit him in his Andipi. Umis and he died. For Amrule, and the people that were there said, Mendilei Dalei. It's Pashat, the reason that he died was because of the fact that he wanted a Darshan in the Maisa Merkava. We're going to get back to the Maisa Merkava. That will be the topic of the raid bite, but just a little bit more Gemara. It's still early. Adama, how much Adama, how much earth would a person have to carry in order for him to be Chayv on Shabbos? So again, this is all very technical, and it's discussing things that we don't really use on a day-to-day basis. We have to try our best to try to make sense of all this, but it's kechaisen amartzufen, enough earth that somebody would use to seal cargo. Divi Rabbi Akiva. So enough to seal a letter, which is a smaller share. Zevel, fertilizer. V'chol hadak, or fine sand. So we saw this in the previous daf. How much of that would you have to carry? Kedei lezabel kelech hakruv. Enough to fertilize one stalk of cabbage. Divi Rabbi Akiva. Chomem kedei lezabel krisha. Leek. Chol hagas. What if it's thicker chol? Kedei leet an amole kaf sid. Enough to add to a little bit of sid. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Kana a reed. Kedei lasas komes. Has to be big enough that you can make a pen out of it. V'mhoya ava. Let's say it was thick. A merusis. Meaning you can't make a pen from it. Then it's kedei levashabal beitz akala. It's enough of a reed that it can fuel your breakfast. Made of what? A beitz akala, shebe beitzin, which we'll see the Gemara is going to say is an egg that cooks the quickest. Trufa, when it's battered, then is suna be'ilfis, and it's inside an ilfis, says the Gemara. So the Mishnah said a lot of things, and it begins its discussion with regards to the halacha of how much choyl hagas, how much thick sand would a person have to carry on Shabbos in order for him to be chayv. And the Mishnah said, k'dei litein al moli kafsit, enough sand that somebody would add to sid. So we spoke a lot about sid right before the Mishnah. So we get back to the topic of sid. It says the Gemara, Tano, k'dei litein al pi kaf shel sayodim. So people used to use sid to make plaster, and they would add sand to the plaster. That's what this is all about. Enough that you can add to a scoop full of plaster. It sounds from here that sand is a good thing for sid. Right? If we're saying that people used to add it to it, presumably it's a good thing. So who's the Tana? The Mishnah, Amr of Chiz, Rabbi Yehud, must be Rabbi Yehud. One of the halachas that the Chachamim said a person should be careful of after the Churban Beis HaMikdash was not to use plaster in your house. It was considered too much of an indulgence unless you added something to it. You added teven, straw, or choil, or sand. Because then you devalue it a little bit. You make it less chashuv. So then it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda says teven mutar. If you add teven, it's fine. Choil, but adding sand, aser, is not going to be okay. Mipneshu tarksid, because to the contrary, it actually makes it better. So what do you see from Rabbi Yehuda? That it's a good thing to add sand to sid. Oh, so Rabbi Yehuda must be the time of the mission that says how much sid would a person have to carry? Or how much sand would a person have to carry enough that somebody would add to sid? Rav, I'm Rav, Satul, Temi, Rabban. Maybe the mission is going to Rabban. So if they're going to Rabbanon, why are we talking in terms of sid as it relates to the shear of sand? I thought it's a bad thing to add sand to sid. I thought you're not allowed to
you sit in your house after the Churban, but if you add sand, then it's okay. Clearly that would seem to suggest that it's not a good thing. So Rava said a geshmak eteretz, kilkuloi zehu tikunoi. You're right, it's a bad thing, but at the end of the day, Jews used to use it. And the reason they did was because of this halacha, because of Zeichel Churban. So they understood it was taking away a little bit of the luster of the Sid. But at the same time, halachically, they felt this was the right thing to do. So being that at the end of the day, this is what people used to do, so it comes out it is chashiv. If it's chashiv, so if somebody would carry it, he would be chayiv. Kono kedelas eskomos. If somebody carries a reed, and if it's big enough to make a pen from it, he's going to be chayiv. Tono kumas amagil lekishu. It has to be a kumas that you can comfortably carry or hold as you're writing. Meaning, how long does it have to be? It should be magia until the joints in your fingers. By Rav Ashi, kasher elyon or kasher tachton? Is it the upper joint or the lower joint? Teiku, the Gemara says teiku, and we will stop here. So just one ha'ara as it relates to today's daf, and that is on something that the Gemara brought very fleetingly right before the Mishnah. It's a Dvar Agada, and it's also very much halacha l'maisa erev Shavuos. In Yonah Diyoyma, I should say. And that is, the Gemara told the story, Hahu Bar Galila. There was a person from the Galil, the Iglal of Bavel. He happened to have been in Bavel. Amrulay, they told him, Kum Dereish Shlono B'Maisa Merkava. Would you please get up and give a shir in the Maisa Merkava? Amrulu, he told him, I'll say shir in Maisa Merkava. In fact, Edroish Shlachu, Kididorish Rab Nechemya L'Chavre. I'll say the same shir that Rab Nechemya told this Chavre. Says the Gemara, as this Yid from the Galil is about to give his shear to his Babylonian brethren. Nafek ar isam in koisel, a creature comes out of the wall. Machse ba'andipi, it bites him in his forehead. Umis and he died. Va'amrule, and they said, mindile dole. This all happened because of the fact that this person wanted to get involved in the Maisa Merkav. The Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Hilchas Pesach, which is really Hilchas Shavuos, Simin Tov Tzadik Dalid, Sivkan Aleph says as follows, that on Shavuos, Moitzin Shnei Sfarim, we take out two Sifrei Torah, V'koirin Berishoin Chamisha, we read five Aliyos, Mi B'chodesh HaShlishi Ad Soif HaSeder, that's the Parsha of the Aseres HaDibros and Parshas Yisroi, U'maf Dekorit B'sheinu B'yayim HaBikurim, we use the second Sefer Torah, B'yayim HaBikurim, Parshas Pinchas, we read the Karbonis that were brought on Shavuos. U'mafter, what's the mafter? The Merkava di Yecheskel. The mafter on the first day Shavuos is the Maisa HaMerkava. It's the Merkava of Yecheskel. That's what the Haftorah is. The Makar to this halach and Shulchan Aruch is the Mefurish Gemara. The Gemara is the Masechtas Megillah. Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The end of Masechtas Megillah is where the Gemara talks about the different kriyos that we have in Yom Tov and on different special days. And the Gemara over there says that the mafter on the first day of Shavuos is, it's Maftirim B'Merkava. Says Rashi, what is the Merkava? And why exactly is the Haftorah the Maisa Merkava? So the Maisa Merkava is the first parak in Sefer Yecheskel. And it's often used and often referred to as the most mystical Nevuah of all time. So of all the Nevuahs that we have in all the Sifrei Nevi'im, the Maisa Merkava is the one that's the most above our pay grade. So much so that even the Rishonim were hesitant to get involved in being Mefarish the Maisa Merkava, and it goes down in history as the most mystical Nevuah that was ever said. It gives a chashivas to what Chazal meant when they said, Rasa Shivcha Bayom, Mashalei Ro Yecheskel Ben Buzi Meyolam. Yecheskel Ben Buzi is the one that saw this vision of the Maisa Merkava. He was the one that saw the greatest Nevuah ever. Rasa Shivcha Bayom, Mashalei Ro Yecheskel Ben Buzi Meyolam. But the point is that the Maisa Merkava is the first parak in Sefer Yecheskel. And again, we don't know what this means, but L'saber Asa Oizen, what it seems to be describing is the Merkava. Literally, the chariot, the different malachim that hold up the Kisei HaKavod, Kavi Yochel, and carry HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that Haftorah is the Haftorah that we read on the first day of Shavuos. Says Rashi, why? The reason is, Al Shem Shenigla B'Sinai. Because what happened on Shavuos? Har Sinai. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Klal Yisrael by Har Sinai, he revealed himself Berechev Riboy Sayim Alfei Shenon. What exactly this means, I'm not sure. But when Hashem revealed himself to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, that's when the Yidden saw even more than that they saw at the Yam Suf. How did Hashem reveal himself? With the Merkava. There was a chariot there. It was tens of thousands of Malachim that were involved in this entourage, in this Merkava. And the point is that being that at Har Sinai,
there was this incredible Merkava that all the Yidden saw. So it's for that reason the Haftorah on the first day Shavuos, which is Zman Matan Torah Seinu, is the Haftorah of the Maaseh Merkava. So just to elaborate a little bit on the Maaseh Merkava, and then maybe along the way we'll have a little bit of a deeper appreciation, a Moisef Neufach, so to speak, in terms of understanding why it is that the Haftorah on the first day Shavuos is the Maaseh Merkava. The Gemara, the Mishnah, Masechtas Chagiga, right in the beginning of the second parak, a classic parak, parak Ein Darshan, says, Ein Darshan ba'arayas b'shloisha. The halacha is that you're not allowed a darshan b'inyonei arayas to three talmidim. I mean, only two. V'loiba ma'isa b'arayas b'shnei. You're not allowed a darshan, you're not allowed to give shir about ma'isa b'arayas, the first parak of Sefer Bereishis, Vayera Vayvayvayvayvayvayvayvay Mechod, Soyuvavoyu, all those ideas, even to two people. For Loibim Merkava, when it comes to the Maaseh Merkava, you can't even darshan a biyachet to one person. Elam kein hoyu chacham meva midaitai. Unless this person that you want to darshan to is someone that understood it by himself, the halach is it's not okay to darshan the Maaseh Merkava, even to a yachet. So you see that there's something very chamor as it relates to darshan in the Maaseh Merkava. That's the Pshan in our Gemara, where the Gemara says this person from the Galil who wanted a darshan, the Maaseh Merkava was killed because he was violating this halacha. I mean, not only is this not something you're allowed to darshan berabim, but this is something that you can only tell one person, and only that one person, if he's someone that's a chacha u'mevim me'atzmai, if he was someone that would have been able to figure it out somehow on his own. But otherwise, if that's not the case, the halacha is, you're not even allowed to tell this one person. Either way, that Mishnah that mentions Maaseh Merkava is a great segue, and it segues into Gemara's here in the second parak of Masechtas Chagiga that talks about Inyani Kabbalah, Arba Nichtasu Lepar. This is in the second paragraph of Masechtas Chagiga. This is where it gets involved. One of the stories that the Gemara tells on the top of Daf Yud Dalet on the base is as follows. Tanu Rabbanan. Nice, there was a story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shayu Reichem Alachamor. He was riding on a donkey. And he was out in the road. Rabbi Loza ben Aruch, Mechamer Acharov. And his Talmud, Rabbi Loza ben Aruch, was on a donkey and he was behind him. Amaloi. So Rabbi Loza ben Aruch turns to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he says, Rebbe, Shneili Perek Echa B'Maisa Merkava. Could you please teach me something about the Maisa Merkava? Amaloi. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told Rabbi Loza ben Aruch, Loi kach shanisi lechem, haven't I taught you already? V'loi b'merkava b'yachid, elam kein hoya chacham u'meva midaitai. I'm not allowed to teach even one person Maisa Merkava unless he's a chacham that's meva midaitai. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was telling Rabbi Loza ben Aruch, I'm sorry, you're not a chacham that's meva midaitai, and as a result, I can't teach you the Maisa Merkava. So Rabbi Lozman told Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Rebbe, Tarsheni loy melefanecha davar echad shel madatani. Okay, you don't want to teach me, I understand. But will you at least allow me to tell you something that you once taught me? Amalai, yeah, amor. Teach. Miyad says the Gemara, Yod Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai melech hamor. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai got off the chamor, v'nesatev, and put on a talis, v'yoshav alo even, tachas azayis. He sat down on a stone underneath an olive tree. Amalai. So Rabbi Lozman Aruch asked Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Rebbe, b'mpnei mayur adot me'alach hamor. Why you just get off a donkey? Amar, so he said, efshat to dorish b'maisa merkava. Because you're telling me you're about to darish b'maisa merkava. V'shchino imanu, the shchino is going to be with us. U'malachi asharis malavanei sonu. Malachi asharis are going to be with us. V'ani erkev alach hamor. And I should be riding on a donkey. Miyad posak Rabbi Lozman Aruch b'maisa merkava. Rabbi Lozman Aruch started telling Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Maaseh Merkava, the Darash, and he darshaned V'yor de'ish ben Hashemayim. And as he was darshaning, fire came down from heaven. V'siviv kolo ilonois shebesada, and it encircled all the trees of the sada. Paschu kulam, and all the trees and the malachim v'amru shir, they started saying shir. Mashir amru. What did they say? Halu es Hashem in the aretz, haninu v'chol tohoimois, eitz pri v'chol arazim, halleluka. This was the scene, says the Gemara, nena malach menesh. All of a sudden, a malach emerges and starts talking. Mitoicha fire. The Omar and said to Rabbi Loza ben Aruch and to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Hein, hein, Maaseh Merkava. Rabbi Loza ben Aruch was mechavin to the emes. He got it right. That is the Maaseh Merkava, says the Gemara. Omar and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got up. V'noshkay al roshay, and he kissed Rabbi Lozman Aruch on his head. V'amar, and he said, Baruch Hashem Elikei Yisrael, she nosan ben Lavrom Avinu, she yodeya lohovin v'lachgor v'lidroish b'maiser merkava. Yesh noa doirish v'ein noa mikayim. Noa mikayim v'ein noa doirish. But ato noa doirish v'ein noa mikayim. Ashrecha Avrom Avinu. This is all Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai talking. She Elozah ben Aruch yotza michalotzecha.
Amazing Gemara. The Gemara continues and says, when Rabbi Yeshua heard about this, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yossi HaKoyim were also two of the great Talmidim, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. And they were also walking. They heard about this. They heard about this unbelievable story that Rabbi Lazim and Arach started darshing the Maisa Merkav and the trees and the Malachim and the fire and then the Baskol that came out of the fire. Ashrecha Avram Avinu. Unbelievable story. So they were so blown away. They said, Amru Af Anu Nidresh B'Maisa Merkav. Let's do the same thing. Pasuk Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua got up with Darash and he started darshing. That day was Tkufas Tamos. It was during the summer. And the Skashu Shemayim Bavan all of a sudden became very, very cloudy. Out of the blue. The Nira came in Keshes Ba'anan and they saw a Keshes. They saw a rainbow. And the Malachi Asharis started coming. And the Gemara describes it with a mashal. Like you're at a wedding and Kate Samarag and Lifnei Akala. Everybody starts coming because everyone wants to see what's going on. All the Malachim came together. To hear the drasha of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yossi HaKoyin was there. He was together with Rabbi Yeshua. He told Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai what happened. I said, Ashreichem. Rabbi Yeshua, by the way, who's Ashrei Yoladetoy. Ashreichem v'Ashrei Yoladetchem. Ashrei Einei Shekachro. Praise are the eyes that witnessed this scene. V'af, and then Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai says, I want to tell you something interesting. I had a dream. Ani v'atem b'chaloimi. And you were in my dream. You and Rabbi Yeshua. He's telling this to Rabbi Yossi HaKoyen. And in our dream, Mesubin Hoyinu al Har Sinai. We were sitting on Har Sinai. V'nosno leinu basko min Hashamayim. And at Har Sinai, all of a sudden we hear a basko. Olu lekan. The basko says, Come up, Tamitchem, Mizumanin, Likat, Traklin Gedoilin. And he said, you have palaces and you have beautiful things waiting for you. And you're going to be part of the third group. Whatever exactly this is. A fascinating story. So Gemara again began with a story with Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. He was Reichim al HaChamar. Rabbi Lozan Rachs behind him. He says, Rebbe, will you teach me the Maisa Merkav? He says, don't you know it's the Mishnah, Perik Eim Darshan. Eim Darshan Barayis Bishloisha. V'loi B'Maisa Bereshis Bishnayim. V'loi B'Merkav, even B'Yochid. Elam Kein Hoi Chachim Evi Midaita. I can't teach you. So Rabbi Lozan Rachs says, okay, Rebbe, you don't want to teach me? Let me at least tell you something that I once heard from you. B'Maisa Merkav. And he starts Darshan B'Maisa Merkav. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai gets off his Chamar. He sits down on a stone under the olive tree. The next thing you know, the whole forest is circled with fire, and there's Malachi Asharis there, and Nenach Malach Min Ha'esh V'Amar Hein Maisa Merkava. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai goes on this dramatic Misha Beirach Ashrecha Avram Avinu She'alazah Ben Arach Yotza Mechal Otzecha. And then Rabbi Shur and Yossi hear about this, and they say, we're going to do the same thing. And they do something, and it's a similar event. And Rabbi Yossi goes running to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai and says, you know what happened? He says, I can't believe you're telling this because I just had a dream and you were in my dream. And you know where we were? We were in Har Sinai. So I want to ask you a question. What was this fire? So Rabbi Loz ben Aruch starts darshaning the Maisa and Merkava, and the next thing you know, there was a fire, and the fire seems to play a big role in all this. You know, it's Yodua that the Rajba in the Tshuva said that Rabbi Loz HaKalir, as in the famous Python, so much of the Slichos and the Yoitzris and everything that we have on Yamanoi Ram, etc., was written by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. And the conventional wisdom is that Rabbi Elazar HaKalir was one of the Rishonim. But the truth is that Tosfos Masechtas Chagiga, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, says that he believes that Rabbi Elazar HaKalir was the Tana Rabbi Elazar b'Rav Shimon, as in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's son. In fact, the Raj ben Atshuva, responding to someone who wanted to know who the Kalir was, told him, you know who the Kalir was? It was Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. If you take a look in the Sefer HaYuchsin also says that Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, I mean, most of that we have comes from the Kalir. He says, you want to know who the Kalir was? It was Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. So Rabbi Elazar fleckles the Tshuva Me'ahava right in the beginning of a Sefer in Siman Aleph. So he brings that he saw in the Sefer HaYuchsin and he saw from Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Incidentally, Tshuva Siman Aleph in Tshuva Me'ahava is all about the Kalir. It's fascinating. There was a lot of Tomo with Evan Ezra, Reb Kiveger, Vavar Matikin. We have raid bites on this. But Ein Beis Medrash Bolei Chiddush. So he says it's Yodua that in the Sefer HaYuchsin and in the Tshuva's HaRashba, they said that the Kalir was Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. See, he says, I don't have a raya, because how are you supposed to have a raya to something like this? But I'll tell you, I think maybe I do. Because v'nir la'niyaz daidi k'tzas zeicher l'dover k'tzas ha-rajba v'yeish oymer sh'besefer yuchsin sh'hoya ha-paitan ha-kalir Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Hine, bal shiboli ha-leket kosav. He brings from the shiboli ha-leket that said, shamati me avi moiri, sh'shama mi raboisav. So this is the shiboli ha-leket talking. He says that he heard from his father, who heard from his rabbein, the go'ine loiser. He writes in parentheses, who are these Ga'ine Leiter or Leiser, Lamid Vav Tuf Yud Resh. It's in parentheses, he says, you want to know who they are? Him Rabbeisav Shal Rashi. These were Rashi's Rabbeim, and he tells you to take a look in the Chuvas HaMarshal, Simin Choftes, Ayin Shal. So he says, Shekishep. Piyut, Rebbe Lazar, v'chayis ashehena meruvas. One of the piyutim that we say is v'chayis ashehena meruvas. So he said, the Shibale Elakid, have a messiah from my father who heard this from Rashi's Rabbein, that when the Kalir wrote that piyut, liyato esh svivoysov, the eerie that was circled by fire. Umeviya ba Elyu Rabbah, the Elyu Rabbah brings it already. Now he says that Rebbe Lazar fleckles, what was this piyut? What was it? He says, "Va'piyut hazeh hu ala merkava shero yecheskel." It's all the ma'aseh merkava. He says, "If that's the case, could be this is a Rabbi Loza ben Aruch l'shitasoy, because far amru ba'agadois ein darshim kishedarish Rabbi Loza ben Aruch ma'aseh merkava. What happened? Yard de'ish ben hashamayim." So he says, "We have precedent for this. If the Kalir, when he wrote that piyut, which was the ma'aseh merkava, fire came down, and we know Rabbi Loza ben Aruch, that's a gemara. Then when he darshim the ma'aseh merkava, what happened? Fire came down. So said Rabbi Loza fleckles, even though this is not a raya." But it's very gishmak. This would be a Rabbi Loza HaKalir or Rabbi Loza Ben Aruch L'shitasa. If it's the same person, then it's ma'od matim that this same experience happened both times when he darshan by the Ma'aseh Merkava. But the question is, what was this fire? What was the nature of this fire? So if you take a look at the Marsha says a pshat, but lulei the mistafino, it could be the pshat is that Tosfos says, everyone knows the Gemara. The Gemara says Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. Gadol Shebekulon was Yonasan ben Aziel. Katan Shebekulon was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the Gemara says how great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was, even though he was the Katan Shebekulon. So the Gemara says, okay, from Yochanan ben Zakkai was so great. How great was Yonasan ben Aziel? So the Gemara says, Amr Olav Rabbi Yonasan ben Aziel, B'shashi Yoshev Oysa B'Torah. When Yonasan ben Aziel used to learn Torah, Kol Oif Shepeireach Olav Yad Nisraf. Any bird that was flying on top of him would immediately burn. His Torah was so fiery that it would burn everywhere. So there's a lot of Maisluch and anecdotes related to this Gemara. The Tosfos writer, this is a tucked away Tosfos, Sukkot Av Chav Ches Amar Alf, says, what was this fire? So Pasha, you learn it was Halei Kaidvarei Ke'esh No Mashem, it was the Esh of the Kedusha of Yonasan ben Aziel, the Esh of the fire, the Torah itself is Esh, that was the fire. Says Tosfos, I don't think that's what it was. You know what the pshat is? When Yonasan ben Aziel was saying Torah, when he was darshaning, Hadvarim Smechem Kenesinosam B'Sinai. He says, the Torah was so gishmak, it was so besimcha, it felt like Sinai. It felt like Sinai. And by Har Sinai, the Torah was given with fire, says Tosfos. So you want to know what the fire was? It wasn't that the Torah was the fire. It wasn't the Oitzim Kedusha of Yonis ibn Aziel. That's not what it was. You know what the fire was? It was Maimed Har Sinai. Yonis ibn Aziel, when he learned Torah, it was literally Maimed Har Sinai. Reb Chaim Volozhin Nefesh HaChaim, you do in a bunch of places in Shardal, and Afet Tanel, but he talks about this idea that you find Hayoim Hazeh Niyesa La'am, that a Yid is allowed to go through life acting as if today I was Mekabel the Torah. What do you mean? It's a joke? You weren't Mekabel the Torah today. We were Mekabel the Torah more than 3,000 years ago. What does it mean? So he brings from the Zohar HaKadosh and a bunch of places that says that Maimon Har Sinai wasn't a one-time event that happened in our history, but rather it's a recurring event. It happens every single day. And every single day a Yid has the ability to be Mekabel the Torah. Every single day you could be standing at Har Sinai. Yonis ibn Azil's Madregan learning was so incredible that when he learned Torah, he wasn't just learning Torah, he was learning Torah at Har Sinai. And the events of Sinai was so real. It was so real that the everything that went on at Har Sinai came to life. The fire of Har Sinai came to life. Could be that when Rabbi Lazim and Aruch was darshaning in the Ma'aseh Merkava, it was so real that Rabbi Lazim and Aruch, although he was a Talmud Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, he was zoicha to a fire. He was zoicha to a fire of Har Sinai. But if that's the case, it sounds interesting. Because it's mashma that Rabbi Lazar didn't always have this. See, Yonis ben Aziel always was zoicha to this. But Rabbi Lazar didn't always have this. You know Rabbi Lazar Azariah had this? Rabbi Lazar Aruch had this? Rabbi Lazar Aruch had this when he was darshaning in the Ma'aseh Merkava. See, it sounds like there was something about the Ma'aseh Merkava that when Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch darshaned in the Ma'aseh Merkava, he was zoicha. What did he merit? He merited that somehow it was smechem kinesinasan. And now the events of Har Sinai are playing out again. And as a result, the fire of Har Sinai came to life. I found a ktsas remes to this in the Sefurna. The Sefurna is in Parshas Truma. We all know the pasuk. The pasuk is talking about the Aron. What was the purpose of the Aron? V'noy adeti l'cha sham v'dibarti itcha me'ala kapoyres mi'ben shnei akaruvim asher ala Aron ha'edos eisa asher atza v'oyscha el b'nei Yisrael. Says the Sefurna that if you take a look in the Mishkan, the Torah says in the Psukim, v'chein tasu. You find that word, v'chein tasu. What does it mean, v'chein tasu? See, he says it sounds like that the events of the Mishkan weren't just going to play themselves out in real time when there was a Mishkan, but rather there was going to be some kiyum of the events of the Mishkan in the future as well. So he says, where did you have this? Where did you have this? This is describing the Shechina that was the Mishkan. Where is the V'chein Tasu? Where did you have this Shechina in the future? Beis HaMikdash was Chariv. Where did you have this in the future? So he says like this, this is the Sefurna talking. When the Yidden, when the Chachamim used to Darish in the Maisa Merkava, all of a sudden the Shechina happened. Where is this? So the Sefurna quotes our Gemara as a source to V'chein Tasu, that there was a concept that you see that the Mishkan, the Shechina, and all the majesty and the mysticism that made up the Mishkan, somehow it relived, it played itself out again in future Doiris. Where did it play itself out? V'chein Tasu L'Doiris. Where was the V'chein Tasu L'Doiris? When the Yidden used to darshan in the Maaseh Merkava. This story with Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch wasn't some one-off event. This is not just a thing that happened to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch one time. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch did it, and what was the next thing that happened? All the other Tanaim, and there were similar things going on. Says the Sefurna, this is a binyanav, that whenever the Chachamim used to darshan in the Maaseh Merkava, they merited v'noyadati l'chasham v'dibarti itcha me'ala kaparis. So without going too crazy, but what was the Shechina of the Mishkan? What was the v'noyadati l'chasham? So that everyone knows the Ramban in his Akhtoma to Parashas Truma. The Ramban says, V'hine ikra chefetz b'mishkan hu mokoy menuchas ha-shechina shua oroi. So says the Ramban, what was that? What was that shechina? It was Maimed Har Sinai. V'soid ha-mishkan hu shi'a kovid asher shochan al Har Sinai shochan ola banistor. And that's what the Ramban famously says, that if somebody wants to understand the Mishkan, v'ha-mistakel yofa b'ksuvim ha-nemorim b'ma'an Torah u'mevin ma'asher kosavnu yovin soid ha-mishkan u'beis ha-mikdosh. Because the Mishkan and the Maimed Har Sinai was all one and the same. It was all one and the same. That means the fire that came down when they were darshing the Maaseh Merkava, this was the fire that's associated with the Mishkan. This is the V'chein Tasu L'Doiris. That's the Shechina. That's the Malachim. That's the spectacular event that's happening in Chagiga Daf Yudal Ramad Beis. It's related to the reality L'cha Me'al HaKapoyres, which Ramban says is Maimon Har Sinai. It's all one and the same. Yonis ibn Azil was on such a level that whenever he learned Torah, Kaloif HaPerech, Miyad Nisrof, didn't matter what he was learning, it was Miyad Nisrof. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch wasn't on that same level. Not all the Chachamim were on the Madrega of Yonis ibn Azil. In fact, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch's a Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's the Katan Shebekulin. He's number 80 as far as Hillel's Talmidim go. Yonis ibn Azil's number one. So obviously there's a gap there. Yonis ibn Azil's learning Kaloif HaPerech. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch didn't have it every single time he learned Torah. That's a very, very, very high madrega. You know when Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch had it? He had it when he darshened in the Maaseh Merkava. Because the Merkava, there's a special segula of the Chein Tasu L'Doiris, like the Sefurna says, that the Mishkan, which was Har Sinai, it's all one and the same. Kemavur and the Svarim. It was, that came back to life. That relived itself. I think it's definitely a nice knach in terms of understanding maybe why we would darshen the Maaseh Merkava. Why we would read the parish of the Merkava in the morning on Shavuos. You know why we're reading the Merkava? Because we can't be Dairish for Maaseh Merkava. Because unfortunately, we're not a Chachavim that's Meve Meyatzmoy. But the least we could do is we can have some Kriya of the Maaseh Merkava. That's something that we can do. You know, the Mishnah Berurah brings the Makaris from the Shloha Kaddish. The Shloha said that he was Makabel from his father. He's supposed to stand by the Haftarah of the Merkava. Why? Because in Dairish for Merkava, only if you're standing. So when we read the Haftarah of the Merkava, so what we're at the very least doing is we're latching on a little. Why would we do that? Because Merkava brings Har Sinai to us. That makes it Smechem Kinesin Asan. That makes it Hayoy Mazen Yei Salam. So we could do this every day maybe, but on Shavuos, which is Yoy Matan Torahseinu. So when Mekabel the Torah today, you know what we do? We're trying to be Ma'ayra, bring down a little iris of Maimed Har Sinai. The Tzadikim were able to do it by learning Torah. Yonis Ben Azil, Kolayf HaPireach, says Toisfis. It was Maimed Har Sinai. We can't do it with any piece, but Maaseh Merkava has a special kayach in that. And the Maaseh Merkava has a special koyach, and then again, it's a knach, perhaps, as to why we dash in Maaseh Merkava. But I just want to end with one other point. And that is, the Gemara Chagiga, we went through the Gemara, it's Sarach Iyun Gadol, the Gemara. What was the story? Such a simple story. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is on his chamor. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch is behind him. He says, "Rabbi, teach me the Maaseh Merkava." He says, "Didn't I tell you, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, ain darshin and Maaseh Merkava even to one person unless he's a chacham that's meiv me'atzmai?" So Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch says, "Okay, Rabbi, you don't want to teach me, I hear. Can I at least tell you what you taught me?" He says, "Yeah, sure." So he sits down and he covers himself. And the next thing you know, the malach comes out from the Eish and he says, "Hein, hein, Maaseh Merkava." Frank, the Marsha, how do you read this Gemara? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't want to teach Torah to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Why didn't he want to teach Torah to him? Because he felt he wasn't fitting. Because he's not a chacham meiv midaita. And the next thing you know, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch tells Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, "Rabbi, you taught this to me already. We've been down this road. You've taught it to me. Let me tell you what you already taught me." So I'm a man of shock. Did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai feel that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was a chacham meiv miatzmai? Or was he not a chacham meiv miatzmai? Here he doesn't want to teach Torah to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. And here it seems that he had already taught him Torah. So much so that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch told Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, "Tarshaini, Rabbi, let me tell you what you already taught me." So what happened? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was okay teaching Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Now he's not okay teaching Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. What's Pasha Pshat in this Gemara? Says the Marsha, I'm going to tell you Pshat, based on a very short Gemara. A Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Daf Kuf Men Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara over there was discussing a certain river. It was called the Diumeses River. And apparently, the Diumeses River was like a resort of some sorts. And it was a very, very geshmaka place. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, Ikla Lahasam. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch once went to the Diumeses River. Imshech Basrayu. And when he was there, he got fachat with what was going on there. Rashi says, I'm quoting, "Achar hayayin v'harechitza," the wine that was there, and the rechitza, the bathing that was there, and Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch got caught, iyakir tamudeh, so much so that he forgot his learning. Kihada, when he came back, asa kam lemikri b'sifra, he came and he wanted, they mechabed him to read from the Sefer Torah. So listen to how much Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch had fallen. Boi lemikra chodesh zalochem. He wanted to read from the Torah, they were mechabed him to read a chodesh zalochem. Omar, instead of saying a chodesh zalochem, he said a cheresh hoyo libam. A cheresh. That's a cheresh, someone that can't talk. Hayolibam, his heart was completely silent. And the Gemara says, Rabbanon realized how far Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch had fallen. They were heartbroken. They davened for Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch v'hadar Talmudei. And he got all his learning back. That's why you find Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. He used to darshan about this. But this is the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch had a before and an after. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was one of the great tzaddikim. But then he went to the Diumeses River. And he got fachat, imshech basrayu, achar ayayim barachitza. So much so that he forgot his learning. And the Chum had a daven for him to get his learning back. Says the Marsha Dover Nifla. He says, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was so great that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to teach him the Maaseh Merkava. Even though the Mishnah says, ein darshin merkava b'yachad elam kein hayachachom meivim midaitai. But Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was from those chachamim. He was a meivim midaitai. But then he forgot his learning. And then he crawled all the way back. And he goes to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and says, "Rebbe, will you teach me the Maaseh Merkava?" And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "I can't. I'm sorry. You're not the same Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch anymore. I know I taught you. I know I taught you, but I'm sorry. I can't. You're not the same person. You slipped. You're not in the Madrega anymore. I don't think you're a Chacham or maybe Midaitai." So Rabbi, this is all the Marsha. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, says, "Rebbe, let me show you that I crawled all the way back. I want to show you that I was Chayzer B'tshuva 100%. He says, "Tarsheni, let me tell you something that you once told me. You'll tell me if I'm still holding." And he went ahead and he darshin, and this unbelievable event took place. It was literally Maimed Har Sinai all over again. And the Malach was Nena Min Ha'esh. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "Ashrech Avram Avinu, that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch came Michalotzecha." You're 100% right. So I was thinking that, you know, we all know the Mishnah. We speak it out in this Chabura all the time. And that is Chamisha Talmidim Ha'ilei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We mentioned almost all of them today. Who are Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's five Talmidim? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanis, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yossi Akoyin, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano, for Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Says the Mishnah, I'm skipping, who are your Omer? He used to say, "You kol chachmi Yisrael b'kafim aznayim." If you would take all the chachmi Yisrael, you put them on one side of a scale. For Eliezer ben Horkanis b'kaf shnei, you put Eliezer ben Horkanis on the other side of the scale, machrias kulam. Rabbi Eliezer was greater than all the other Tanaim combined. Abishal saw it a little differently. He said, also in the name of Yochanan ben Zakkai, "You kol chachmi Yisrael b'kafim aznayim." If you would put all the chachmi Yisrael on one side of the scale, for Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch safimah, and you could even put Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch on that side, for Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch b'kaf shniyah, and you'd put Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch on the other side, Machrias Kulon. He would be Machrias Kulon. So in the past, we spoke out from Chaim Balashan, the Machloikas was Sinai, a Geharin, Rabbi Eliezer was a Sinai, a Borsid, Chain of Apatipa, Rabbi Eliezer ben Rachel is a Mayanam is Gaber, he's the Oikaharin. That's not for now. I was thinking like this. What does Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Rachel have in common? What do they have in common? You know what they had in common? Rabbi Eliezer was 28 years old. He didn't know Kriya Shema. That's Rabbi Eliezer. It's in the beginning of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. We spoke about that a few times. Rabbi Eliezer was the ultimate Chayzer B'Tshuva. He started when he was 28 years old. He didn't know anything at the age of 28. Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach knew, but he was a Shanu Pirish. That's what Chazal say. He, not Pirish, but he forgot his learning. He Akir Talmudeh. His chaverim had a daven for him to be able to come back. They were both what we would say chayzer b'tshuva. They were both people that didn't always have it perfect. Not physically, spiritually. They had tremendous yuridos in their lifetimes. The first 28 years of Rabbi Eliezer's life was one big yurida. He started very much behind the eight ball. Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach forgot all his learning. Imagine this. Rebbe tells him, he says, I'm sorry, you're not in the Madrega. I can't teach you Torah anymore. No, Mo, you able to. You're not a Chacham Omeva Midaite. He goes, Me Igra Rama Labira Mikta. Yet at the end of the day, who are the two great Tanoim? Who are they? It's Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanes, and it's Rebbe Eliezer ben Arach. That greatness doesn't necessarily come from a person just going step after step after step. The reality is people fall, people have yuridas, and we think that a yurida, a person falls, and now all of a sudden he goes through a tkufa or whatever, and that's it, he's done. I mean, he can crawl back, he can maybe do mitzvahs, and he can be kavei itim batayra, but he can't reach a madrega. How's he going to reach a madrega? Really? The Tana of the Mishnah says that the two greatest tanoim, I mean, in you kol chachmi Yisrael b'kaf maznayim, Lesman Hurkis Bagav Shneer, Machrias Kun. Or Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach, Hatzad Ashava Shebehen, is epic Yuridos. Epic. And these are the two great Tana. But I just want to end with one vart that I saw from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He said something unbelievable. He said that if you put something, two things on two sides of a scale, one is heavier than the other, what's going to happen? So the heavier one is going to fall down. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be a little bit lower. But what does it cause the other side of the Maznayim to do? It causes it to go up. So he said, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanes was the Gadol Hador. You call Chachmei Yisrael b'kaf echad. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanes is Machria esakav. What does it mean he was Machria? He was greater than everybody else. That's what the Mishnah is trying to say, right? He was the greatest. He was Machria Skulam. Wow. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanes was amazing. That's what the Tana of the Mishnah is trying to say. He was the greatest Tana of all time. That's Pashup Shah. But said the Lubavitcher Rebbe, there's a Pnimius over here. You know what the Pnimius is? That with all the greatness of Rabbi Eliezer, you know what he used his greatness for? To lift up everybody else. It wasn't a greatness that was a selfish greatness only for himself, but he actually lifted up the rest of the world. He was machriya sakah. What does it mean he's machriya? That means, you're right, he's heavier. That's his godless, but he brings everybody else up. And Rebbe Eliezer ben Arach the same way. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, you know how they brought everybody up? They brought everybody up, of course, by being gedolim and being leaders for Klal Yisrael. That's the Pashup Shah. But it's more than that. They go down in history as the symbol of what a Yid could do. Because anytime a person has a yerida, you know what lifts him up? Read this Mishnah. Read Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanes. What, you're late to the game? Read Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanes. Go through the first parak and pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. You're not late. Rebbe Eliezer lifts everybody up. You feel like you were once steiging and now you had a yerida, and how am I going to get my life back together? Rebbe Eliezer ben Arach is machriya. He's the machriya. He's greater and greater. Yeah, that's the point. The way he lifts us up. Because when a person's in a matzav of yerida, the chizuk is Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanes, and the chizuk is Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach.